Let us turn in our hymnals again, this time to page 866, today's Heidelberg Catechism Confession, Lord's Day 19, questions 51 and 52. Question 51, what does this glory of Christ, our head, profit us? First, that by his Holy Spirit, he pours out heavenly gifts upon us, his members. Then, that by his power, he defends and preserves us against all enemies. What comfort is it to you that Christ shall come to judge the living and the dead? That in all my sorrows and persecutions, I, with uplifted head, look for the very one who offered himself for me to the judgment of God and removed all curse from me, to come as judge from heaven, who shall cast all his and my enemies into everlasting condemnation, but shall take me with all the chosen ones to himself into heavenly joy and glory. Well, beloved congregation, on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after Christ's ascension, Peter explained to the Jews that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that they were witnessing was proof that Jesus had indeed been enthroned as God's promised king, the king of God's promised kingdom. And that's found in Acts 2, verses 33 through 36. The benefits of the kingdom of Christ are very great to us, as we've just read. Namely, that he causes his word to convert the elect, that he rules over us through the ministry of his holy word and his Holy Spirit, and that he preserves his church unto the end of the age. Jesus Christ intercedes at all times for us in heaven, so that the Heavenly Father doesn't refuse us anything on account of the virtue and force of his intercession. He grants to us heavenly gifts. Those heavenly gifts including a true knowledge of God, faith, repentance, and every Christian virtue as he works in our hearts by his Spirit. He accomplishes all this for us in his generous grace so that there should never be any reason why we should doubt our salvation, for he will preserve it safely for us. John 10:28. Jesus defends us against all our enemies. He defends us against the devil, the evil world system, and our sinful nature. And he will at length bring us to heavenly glory. So we have a wonderful Savior, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:25 and following, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And, of course, that will be destroyed on the glorious day that he returns from heaven. Question 52 deals with the importance of Article 7 of the Apostles' Creed, taken directly from the Bible. Quote, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. That appears in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. And, beloved, it's important to realize that in this chaotic theological age in which we live, there is only one second coming of Christ. Nowhere does the Bible teach that Jesus is going to return twice to earth, once for his church and then again 7 years later. To the contrary, as we read in Hebrews 9:28, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time. Not a third time. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, the Lord Jesus will himself descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word raptured, by the way, in Latin. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's not that we deny that there is such a thing as the rapture, What we deny is that the rapture is separated from Christ's return to earth in glory and judgment. And that text that we just read does not say we will secretly meet Christ in the air. Rather, it says it will be attended by the trumpet of God, an announcement to all creation. It doesn't say that he'll then reverse direction and take us back to heaven and wait another 7 years before he comes in glory. It's just not there. As we read in the scripture, when Christ comes, John 6:39 says it will be the last day of this age. Matthew 13:39, Jesus said it will be the end of the age, the day when Christ returns. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 says that it will be at the end of the world, the end of this age, where it says, at his coming, then comes the end. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. This was the apostolic hope. This was the hope of the early Christians. Judgment day comes when the Lord returns. He shall come to judge everyone, the living and the dead. Everyone will be resurrected and judged on the same day, Matthew 25, 31 and 32, and John 5, 28. The hour is coming in which all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. That verse alone blows up the whole theory of the so-called pre-tribulational rapture, for it teaches very plainly, that the resurrection of the dead is everybody all at once. As Paul preached in Acts 17:31, God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And as Jesus himself taught in Matthew 25:46, at the conclusion of judgment day, the wicked will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now see, when you take all of those very clear verses into account, it will help us to interpret Revelation chapter 20 rightly. Revelation chapter 20, the whole book, in fact, is communicated in symbols. We learn that in the very first verse of that letter, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. And in chapter 20, a book rich in symbolism, verbal pictures of dragons and beasts coming out of the earth and false prophets and all this. The only place in the Bible that mentions the millennium, as we are told, is the 1,000-year reign of Christ is in chapter 20. And responsible study of Scripture teaches us that we must interpret Revelation 20 in light of the rest of the New Testament, not the other way around. In other words, we have a very clear statement by Jesus that all the dead will rise at one time, the righteous to everlasting life and the wicked to everlasting doom. But Revelation 20 would seem to separate those two. So which one are we going to go with? There are other verses, too, that speak of the resurrection of all the dead all at once. So again, we know, and the Reformers were very, very keen on this, very keen on proper interpretation of the Scriptures. The clear verses of Scripture are to help us understand those that are more obscure. And since the rest of the New Testament, and I would include the Old Testament in this, since the whole Bible says that there are only two ages, as Jesus said, this present age and the age to come, it follows that the millennium must fit in somehow with Christ's present reign in heaven. And this, of course, is the vast majority position of the Christian church down through the ages. In fact, it is not a violation of Scripture to interpret the number 1,000 symbolically in chapter 20. It is not a violation to interpret it as referring to a long, indefinite time period. In fact, the Bible itself interprets the number 1,000 in such ways in at least three different places. And you can look these up. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, Joshua 23, verse 10, Psalm 50, verse 10. Like I ask people, they say, well, it's a literal 1,000 years, isn't it? And I said, so Jesus owns, or God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What about the 1,001th cattle? Does he not own that too? It's symbolic use of that language to teach us that he owns all the cattle on all the hills all over the world, right? We wouldn't come to any other conclusion. So we understand that for those who believe in the Lord, all that to sum up, he is coming to take us to himself. We need to be very clear on this. He is coming to rule and reign over this earth, over the new heavens and new earth, and we will reign with him, Revelation 5, verse 9. And this should create great joy, not distraction, not doubt, not fear if we had this wrong. It should create great joy and good cheer for everyone who personally trusts in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, let's pray.